Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Do we have the governor on the phone?
Oh,
Governor Lamont.
Oh, Texas. Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, Governor, how are you?
I heard you sing my theme song.
Yeah, that's
catchy,
right.
Catchy, isn't it? It's catchy.
Thanks for having me back on. I always love to come.
Oh,
here.
Thank you. The grocery tax, that's kind of exploded in your face. What's your deal with that?
Well, you know, we don't pay much attention to that because once we put something into effect, it takes a while until the state catches up with the rest of us. What's that?
Huh?
Sorry. I thought someone was talking to me. Just got to say that we think that the, you know, the tax on the plastic bizzles is a good deal.
With the
plastic bizzles?
Plastic bizzles? Hmm.
That's right.
And you're going to take another swipe at tolls?
Tolls and taxes. Tizzles and tazzles.
Whatever happened? Dog? Tizzles and tazzles. I don't know.
Is he Snoop Dogg? He's Snoop Dogg now.
The working people, remember the working class? You said that was getting hammered. Like you said you were going to help the working class. When are you going to start on that one?
We're going to start on that as soon as we see these plastic bizzle taxes working in the way that we want it to go. We've got a direction. We've got a plan, a pizzle in place here, Chad.
What is all this pizzle passel? What is the pizzle passel?
He's down with the homies.
I was told I got to wrap it up pretty quickly here.
Oh, so they're wrapping.
Gotcha. Oh, very good. Okay.
In a hizzle, yes.
All right. Thank you, Governor Lamont.
Tolls and taxes.
Tolls and taxes.
Yeah, he snapped. Mm-hmm. He snapped.
It seems like a campaign slogan for them.
Could be.
For what you're about to hear to make sense, I have to go back to Valentine's Day 2015. I bring Jennifer to a roadside burger joint called Charcoal Chef for the very first time. The place is in Woodbury. It's known for good food and strong drinks.
Okay.
They have a 4-drink limit. That's how strong these drinks are.
Wow.
So I warned her, but did she listen to me? No.
No!
We get in the car. We're driving away. Lionel Richie's You Are comes on. We start singing at the top of our lungs. Then she starts talking. And so I turn the music down. And I'm listening to her, and I'm like, oh, boy, I got to get my camera out because she's making no sense, right?
Yeah.
So I start recording her, and then there's this awkward silence, and she looks at the camera and says,
where's Lionel Richie?
I got to get you the other soundbite.
Yeah. All right. So there's that.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Now, fast forward to yesterday, and she's at the dentist about to have 2 wisdom teeth extracted, and she's under, right?
Yeah.
Phil asks a good question. Hello, honey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. I have I got some Novocaine and I got some nitrous.
Nitrous. Is that laughing gas?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I can tell.
You're about to have a couple teeth pulled out?
Yeah.
All right.
Voluntarily?
I'm going to be a hillbilly.
Yeah, you'll officially become a hillbilly today.
Nice. It stings my nostrils.
It stings your nostrils?
I hate that.
But your teeth are...
It stinks.
I'll give you a few lines of
coke. Oh, my God. He thought he's going to see you. He's talking about cocaine.
What's that? I can't understand
he's
you.
He's talking about cocaine?
Yes.
Is the doctor also on laugh?
Hon, are you at a doctor's office now?
Yeah.
Are you in a
Not really.
The doctor is on my right, and Susan is on my left. She's super cool.
But where's Lionel Richie?
What, are you the wonder?
Yeah,
he's right inside of me, Philly.
Wait, Lionel. Hold on.
Oh my God, they have the radio on, so everything's echoing. It's so
She means in her heart.
In her heart.
Lionel Richie's in her heart.
Okay.
As in all of our hearts.
I got you.
He's like Sunday morning, yes.
All right, hon. You're going to regret this call tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, I love you. I can't let it go now.
All right, I love you too.
Love you, bye. Love you,
my man. I live forever.
She's a brave one.
Live forever.
Wow.
Yep. Lionel Richie is inside of Jennifer. She did not remember.
Really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oops.
So I got home and I said, do you remember what you said when Phil asked where's Lionel Richie? And she said, yeah, I said he's inside my head. I'm like, that's not what you said.
Nope.
That's nope. Not what she said.
Yeah. Missed a couple of words there.
Yeah. You thought you said that.
Kind of important words.
Changes the whole meaning.
Yeah, the
changes
whole vernacular.
The whole meaning.
The whole structure.
Yeah,
he's right inside of me, Philly.
Yep. Your ringtone or what?
How can you make a living playing video games?
How?
University of New Haven has the answer to that on the show. Gil Fried from the University of New Haven. Hello, Mr. Fried.
Fried, but yeah, how you guys doing?
Hello, Mr. Fried.
I like Fried better.
Mm. In high school, it was cool. Not now.
All right, sorry about that.
No problem.
Hello, Mr. Fried.
How you doing?
Good. How do you make money playing video games?
Well, you could be a professional video game player, like Ninja, and make millions of dollars endorsing games and having sponsorship. But that's not the focus of our program. Our program examines the business side of the industry, which is how to put on the games, how to put on major events at Madison Square Gardens, how to run the franchises, how to operate houses, which the franchises operate out of, how to sell the games, how to sell the units. There's a number of different ways where you can make money
in
the esports field.
Okay, good. So this is just like regular sports. If you can't be an athlete, there's still a number of ways you can make money in the industry, either being a sports agent
or a promoter
or a sports analyst, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
This is what you're teaching, the other side of it, the business side.
Correct. The business side is just as exciting because you could have a new product come out. Before Fortnite came out, no one knew about it. Streaming games was not the way to go. It was just the modules that you bought with the consoles, and now the whole industry is flipped. And that makes it so exciting that it could change in a heartbeat.
It's amazing that there's an industry being built around people who sit on the couch and play video games.
Any better couches now, Chaz?
Yeah.
We'll make a video couch.
It's pretty amazing what we've done with this.
Yes.
You know?
A couch that vibrates and massages you as you're playing your video game for hours actually feeds you.
Go over with us a couple of the things that people will learn specifically.
So specifically, the areas that people will focus in on are areas such as sport facility management, which is, you know, something that's huge. How to run these large arenas that are hosting these events. How to do event day operations. So you're looking at how to put on an event. And it's not just the finals that you might see on TV or on Twitch. It's the pre-event activities. It's a week beforehand. You have the preliminary rounds. You're going to have all the people involved with marketing. And so, for example, Ninja was paid supposedly close to $1 million to help launch Apex Legends. Now, instead of having a traditional marketing campaign where you see ads on TV and billboards and in magazines, they just paid a streamer over $1 million just to play the game nonstop for several days, and all of his followers end up buying into the Apex Legends model. And so this is something that's just exciting.
Now, what part? So Ninja got paid that money to play that, but what part would what you're teaching people to do, how would they manage that? What are you talking about?
So that is understanding that the marketing campaigns that we used to use in the past are now flipped on their head. So you have to understand that the industry is changing, and so we're teaching people how to use analytics to make a solid decision, how to go through and market in a new manner that we haven't used in the past.
Right. Do you know how they came up with that $1 million number?
It's from a wide variety of sources on Reuters that estimate it, because Apex and EA are not being clear about what they spend. But these gamers that have huge followers are drawing money. Even our own gaming club is making money.
How long did he have to play that game to make $1 million?
Well, that was the first time he ever played it.
Really?
Right. But how long? Yeah. How long was he streaming?
Oh, he's been streaming for a number of years.
I'm just trying to get...
Just this one game.
The one game.
He gets the $1 million, yeah.
Right. How long was he streaming, playing this one game, for $1 million.
A 5-day commitment that he had where he was streaming it, not 24 hours a day, but huge chunks, and his followers got excited about it.
Right. And so 5 days, $1 million. That's right. What I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. Not a bad payout.
This has to be based on, well, if I do this, you're going to make X amount of money. Therefore,
I
should get a cut.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, piece of the action.
That's absolutely correct.
Wow.
And Ninja's smart because he's the guy, he gets on like his stream and he'll bring celebrities in with him, like celebrities that play Fortnite, that play these video games. They want to get on his stream because they do this now, too. Like they're all
it's part like
of
what
that
Barstool has evolved into with the pizza thing. Now you don't know who he might be with, an athlete or a celebrity or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, like Drake and stuff like
that. That was the big one.
And that's what people want to see. They want to see the celebrities, but it's the business side is how to get all those people together to leverage a game and to help market a new idea.
Wow. All right. And then at the University of New Haven, you have a facility that's opening for this specific course?
Well, it's not for the course. It's for our students, our current students, future students. We're building a large new facility on campus. And as part of that new facility, we're going to be having a 2,500 square foot eSport training lounge. And it's going to have hopefully 24 stations where you could have teams of six, which is normally what you have, participating and playing against schools all over the world. And it would be a great way for our 200-plus eSport club members to play, but also to have very competitive teams. Who knows if we're going to have scholarships in the future or if it will become an NCAA sport. Who knows? But right now, we know we can have active participation in numerous games, and the students are very excited about it.
I want to get you in studio. You sound like the right person to be fronting this. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. This is an exciting time.
Gil Fried, University of New Haven, professor, chair of sports management on the phone. And they have a new course there for eSports.
Huh.
Holy crap.
Just think, your kid's an athlete right now on the couch.
I know. This makes it harder for parents to say, get off the couch.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm working over here.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm making money.
Chores not going to be done. That driveway is not going to be plowed. That lawn's not getting cut.
Right.
Those dandelions are going to grow where they were.
I think the term eSports is misleading. Like, I think if you call, like, the athletic director and you're like, hey, we want to, bring an eSports person in, they're like, okay, why call me?
That happened to me yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw eSports, so I called the athletic department, and they were like, they sounded, like, a little upset, maybe. They were like, yeah, we're not involved. I'm like, oh.
You know what they wanted to say? We play real sports over here.
Yes. Yeah.
We have real athletes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
This isn't some fantasy video game piece of plastic.
We
in your
use
hand.
Our legs over here, okay?
Right.
We're not seeing our socks on the couch. Yeah.
This is work.
Right.
This is, no.
You're we're not athletics. Looking,
you've called the wrong place.
Right. Yes.
How dare you?
Get off
How
the phone.
Dare you?
Get off the phone.
Yeah. You know what we teach here? That kids have to do something.
They've got to do something.
Yeah. Oh, I want him in studio.
Yes.
He's the right guy, too.
Will he get dropped off
He's
by
He's got
some
crazy credentials.
Will he get dropped off by somebody or what?
Oh, I don't know. They're over there.
Oh.
Sorry.
Thanks for telling us.
Sorry.
Yeah. Where, on the top or the bottom?
The top.
Internationally recognized expert on stadium safety and risk management, sports finance, and sport analytics.
I think.
Research on foul ball safety help put pressure on. All right. So this is a guy we could talk to about a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
Right.
The sports world.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody is running for mayor in New Hampshire.
My God. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody's going. Okay.
A guy in Keene, New Hampshire legally changed his name to Nobody.
Oh,
see that?
You
see
tricked
that?
Me.
His first name is Ima or Hugh. Hugh Nobody.
He is going to run for mayor, and he says there's lots of jobs in government that nobody should do. Here he is.
I made it because I intended to run for office, and there's a lot of jobs in government that nobody should do. What I'd like to do in any political position is as little as possible. And by that, I mean shrink government down as much as I can. I think if I don't get mayor, I'm going to run for governor.
Right. Nobody's running for either.
I feel like he's speaking in riddles.
Yeah, I think he's just entertaining himself.
Well, he's nobody.
Well, he's doing a couple of things that this other guy from the esports just talked about.
Right.
You know, he's getting all this free marketing by doing this one specific thing, changing his name to Nobody, and it's part of his theme.
It works.
Nobody should be doing these jobs. Government should be smaller. I think it's genius.
Yes.
Hey, who's running this place?
Nobody!
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 Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense, then.
Yeah. I feel like we have that running Connecticut.
We do.
Yeah. Man shot with nail tries to pull it out of leg himself.
Yeah!
So Georgia construction worker. Sounds like a real man to me. He shot himself in the thigh with a nail gun. We were talking about this earlier this week with the guy and the shot in the heart.
Right in the heart, yes. Like Bon Jovi's song, yes.
Yeah. And attempted to pull the nail out himself with pliers.
Ooh, pliers.
Before paramedics arrived.
You want to get grip on that sucker. The right tool for the job.
It was a 3-inch penny nail. And someone on scene saw what he was about to do and said, no, no, no.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
It's like an Amy Winehouse song.
Yes. You want to pull the nail out? I said, no, no, no.
It doesn't sound like Georgia.
Nail in the leg will make you be dead. Said, no, no, no.
There you go.
That's better.
Well, you know.
When we were talking about the nail to the heart earlier in the week, we had someone... Mike, the neurosurgeon, call in and say that he had to pull a knife out of a guy's head.
Ooh.
That's the last place you want a knife.
Must have been a real meathead. Where should I put it? Right here.
Mike.
Yes, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. What happened?
So I'm out in Iowa practicing, and they call you, wake you up at night, and they go,
practicing
hey,
what? Oh, medicine. Oh,
right.
Oh, okay, yeah. Stupid.
So
man.
They
all
go,
right, go
there's a guy in the ER with a knife in his head. You're like, what? He said, yeah, well, come on down. So you go down there, and there's this drunk guy. He's hollering at the nurses. He's total.
You're a neurosurgeon?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So they call the brain surgeon and take the knife out of the brain. So we go down there, and there's this guy. Sure enough, I sent you guys a photo. I don't know if you
Yes, it's dramatic. I think if I posted it, I'd get flagged.
Gotcha.
You might get flagged, yes.
He's
got the Swiss Army knife buried in his head. So that's a 6-inch blade. And he's a total jerk, and everyone just wants me to get him to sleep. So, you know, you're going to go take this knife out of his head. Exactly what you guys have been talking about. If somebody has something stuck into their body, don't pull it out.
Gotcha.
Let a professional do it. Because there could be a blood vessel being plugged up by this thing. You pull it out, the guy will bleed to death.
Off it goes, yeah.
So I go down the OR, and, you know, I do just exactly what we've been talking about. You know, I'm going to plan this big surgery. I got to take a big piece of skull out, you know, do a whole what we call a bone flap to expose the brain, you know, so I can find out.
You can do all that?
What's that?
You could do all that?
Yeah, yeah, that's what we do. Put some holes in the head. And then we
this is the neurosurgeon I want. I want the guy who's like, yeah, do it all the time.
Smoke a cigarette while doing it.
I was just thinking that.
I want no big deal.
I want the man's man.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want some guy who uses big words.
No. I want Mikey. Yeah. Oh, Mikey.
I want the guy most likely to crack a beer during the brain surgery.
Yeah.
That's pretty much true. Exactly that. Right.
Yeah.
It's just a job. It's just a job. It sounds like a gas station when you're working in there because there's a lot of power tools. So, you know, like when they take off the lug nuts on a wheel. I used to work in a gas station when I was a kid. It's the same thing.
You went from working at a gas station
tools.
To being a neurosurgeon.
Wow.
So we go down there and that exact.
Are you still.
You
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm fascinated with your career. Are you still practicing medicine?
Oh, yeah. I don't do surgeries now because I'm also an attorney. So I do both medicine
what?
And law, but it's
what?
Always
you,
together in the law.
You're an astronaut also?
Yeah.
No, but I was, you know, you saw my military pictures. They just retired.
Thank,
31 years.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
Were you
thank
trained you by the military to be a neurosurgeon?
Well, they paid for my school, but I went through private schools, but they, you know. They paid me also during my residency. And so because of that, you know, I had a couple deployments and whatnot.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, so now back to this guy with the knife in the head. So you were able to get it out successfully.
Oh, well, this is the good part of the story.
Wow.
So after all this stuff we've been talking about. You're going to plan this complicated surgery. You're going to take off the bone flap. So I take off the bone flap, and I'm thinking, well, this knife will probably just fall right out, right? Because now it's just stuck into soft brain, which is nothing but mushy stuff.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right.
Yeah, I like how it. The neurosurgeon describes the brain as mushy stuff.
Yeah, well, mushy stuff.
He's dumbing it down for us.
How I can understand. Right.
So this thing is not moving at all, and there's nothing attached to it as far as I know. It's just stuck like kind of right underneath his frontal lobe. So I'm trying to just tug it out of there and expose the brain a little more, and it's not coming out. I've got my knee against the table.
I was just going to say, did you put your foot against his head?
I'm pulling so hard. I got my knee and my body weight trying to pull it out. Then, of course, it comes flying out of there like sword in the stone. Right. I cut myself with the goddamn knife right through the glove. And then everybody's holding their breath. Is this guy going to all of a sudden start hemorrhaging? And then it's going to be a real mess in there. Nope. Doesn't hemorrhage, nothing, just wait a few minutes, looks pretty good. Okay, put the bone back on, put sew him up, blah, blah, blah. So this guy, what a piece of work he is. So he has just a few deficits because of where the knife went. It picked off a couple of important nerves to your face. So he's got a little bit drooping face. One of his eyes doesn't move so well, whatever. This guy takes
him
to the hospital the next day. He wakes up perfectly well, still a jerk, and he just leaves the hospital. I have no idea who took his staples out of his head, but I never saw the guy again.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
He was a real piece of work.
He was.
That was a knife in the head story, so it's exactly what you guys talk about. But I ended up having to basically, you know, use the pliers in my knee against the table to get the thing out.
Damn. But it worked.
But then he walks out the next day. How good of a surgeon are you, man? Holy
crap. Or how tough is that guy?
Just like one of my professors says, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So that's just luck.
There you go.
That's just luck. And remember what the ER nurse, Katie, she was about 5 foot tall, 5 foot wide when I was a first-year resident. She said to me, when you're stupid, your whole body suffers. And every time you guys do dumbass news, I think of that lady.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Scott Haney, Channel 3 Weather God. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, where was Nicole this morning?
Yeah.
She slept in.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, look at that.
Did anyone know she was going to sleep in? Did she know she was going to sleep in?
No, she did not know she was going to sleep in.
Oh. Surprise!
Surprise. She said, you know, it's the first time, and it happens to all of us. I don't, you know, it happened to me, I think, about 6 years ago. And the producer came to my house because I thought I was dead because, you know, I live alone.
Yep.
And I didn't answer my cell phone. I don't have a landline, or I do, but I never answer it because it's, like, only there for the security system. And they sent somebody to the house because nobody was answering, and they thought something was seriously wrong. So the producer came to my house. I ran down the stairs. The doorbell was ringing. I'm like, what the hell is happening? I was in a complete daze. There I am standing there in my underwear, and the producer is on the other side of the door going, you're supposed to be at work. And I'm like, oh, my God.
What time was that?
Wait a minute. It was 4:40.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. 4:40, and I'm on the air at 4:30.
Whoops.
So you still had time to get yourself together and get in?
No.
No?
No. The show had started.
It's 10 minutes late already.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I was 10 minutes late when they came to... The show had already been on the air for 10 minutes when they came to my house.
Yeah, I get that, but you don't have complicated TV here where you need an hour to get ready. Like, you could throw a suit on and go right in.
Yes, yes. I was on the air at 5:07.
Okay, that's what I meant.
That's impressive.
Like, you didn't lose the whole shift.
Wore a Speedo.
No, Nicole didn't either. She missed the 4:30.
Oh.
She was on the air at 5 o'clock.
Our top story, where's Nicole?
Yeah, but
they held up a puppet.
It's a terrible. Have you guys ever overslept?
Yes, but I want to go back to this. What kind of underwears were you wearing?
A diesel boxer briefs.
Diesel
boxer briefs. Okay, yeah, I wear boxer briefs.
Yep, same.
Yeah,
like you don't want it to be like if you're the producer, you know. If it's a Speedo, that's an image that you're just going to wake up eight years later.
With cheetah print.
Exactly. She actually left.
Covered in sweat. Hon, was it the Scott Haney dream again? Yes!
Is that the Tarzan version?
She actually left this. She left the station shortly after.
Oh, no.
Tarzan version, yeah.
Boxer briefs, God, that's so not funny. Bad.
She had PTSD.
That's not bad. Boxer briefs are good. Yeah.
Yeah, boxer briefs. Yeah, that's. I don't wear the tidy whities or anything too low cut. Boxer briefs. Like, you know, like my bathing suit. Looks like my bathing suit.
Yeah. You can wear it out. You can wear it out.
Yeah, formal.
Well, you know,
I think you should wear it on the, you know, wear it on the air.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll wear it for National Underwear Day, which I'm sure is coming up. There's a national day for everything. Why not there be a National Underwear Day?
Yeah. Jennifer and I were just talking about that. There was one morning where AJ called the house phone.
Oh, my God. Who answers that? I don't even know what the number is.
Exactly. So AJ and I have a routine set up. We don't see, he's always here first, but he called. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
How long ago was that? A couple of years ago?
A while ago, yeah.
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 I mean, 16 years.
Yeah.
Right?
It's only happened a couple of times, tops.
Right.
Yeah. It's bound to happen. I mean, it just stuff happens.
But our times are in place in that when he calls, I still have enough time to get here and get on the air. Now,
That's a great idea.
I'm not organized.
No.
Right.
But I'm on the air. And there was one night, this was early in the run. I was having a, there was a, I was buying a house in Shelton.
Yeah.
And it was a new development. And the guy's building the house, father, son, Portuguese. And I went to check out the house to see the progress.
Oh,
I end up in the contractor's trailer parked on the street, you know? It's kind of like a mobile office.
And
they break out Portuguese wine. This is three in the afternoon. I'm like, I'll have a glass. The next thing I know, it's really dark out. And I have to get home. I get home. I shouldn't have drove. I go into the apartment that I'm staying in temporarily. My wife at the time is on Long Island with young Chaz.
Yeah.
And I pass out. The next thing I know, my neighbor's.
Hey! Oh, my God.
Hey! You got to get up. You got to get up.
Oh, my God. She's listening to your show and you're not on it.
With a wine hangover.
That show, not only was I late for, but I arrived drunk.
Yep.
I was I didn't have enough time to sleep it off.
Right. When you were in when you were in clothes on your feet,
The first thing I said, Jesse was the producer, then I said, you have to go out and get 8 cheeseburgers right now.
I remember that, yeah. It was cheeseburger fest, yeah.
Yep.
I think I might have had a little too much to drink the night before myself.
You'll see.
Yep.
Hell, you say.
I don't drink on the weekends anymore. Well, no, that's not true. But if I know, I can't drink like late in the afternoon or at night if I have work the next day.
You do a lot of events. I don't know how you do it.
Yep.
I just, you know, I'll have one in the beginning and then that's it.
But you do a lot of events during the week.
It does.
Yeah. Exactly, and they keep me up. But they keep me out of the house later than normal as it is.
Right.
So
you can't add to anything to that. That's
good. No, you cannot.
No.
I won't drink during the week either.
Right.
No, it's tough. It's better.
Yep.
Catch the weekends. Yes.
How is this weekend going to be? Hartford Marathon tomorrow.
Great.
I
think, the run is like kind of cloudy. The sun's not going to be out. It'll be cloudy in the morning. Temperature's in the low 50s, which is pretty good. The typical overnight low is about 42, so it's going to be a little bit better than average. And for the whole race time, like, the temperature goes up like 2 degrees an hour. So 8, it's like 50, 52, 54, 56, 58, 60. And then partial sunshine by the afternoon.
Oh, that is perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. And really good.
Sunday, real nice.
Sunday's going to be really nice. We'll look for increasing clouds, though, late in the day. And then some showers Sunday night into early Monday morning, but they're not going to be too prevalent. Nothing like we had. Southeast Connecticut has been raining for like 3 days now.
Yeah.
But yesterday actually turned out a little bit better than we were expecting.
It did.
Which was good news.
Yeah.
Much better. And today we're going for mainly dry conditions. And then for the Hartford Marathon, I think we're going to be pretty good.
Smooth.
Saturday night, AJ and I are at the Legends of Fear in Shelton.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are good to go.
All right, perfect. All right, brother, have a great weekend.
All right, you too, guys. All take care.
Thanks.
Who's the worst? It's the Chaz and AJ Loser of the Week.
All right, call in your votes and nominations. 1-877-764-2535. Who do you not like this week?
Who
made you mad? It could be someone in the news, someone who cut you off in traffic.
Yeah.
Rodman is at Comics Roadhouse Mohegan Sun tonight and tomorrow night. We're lucky enough to have him hanging out with us right now.
Yes.
Is there anyone you don't like this week?
It's probably somebody I, don't like every week, but
right. Not
in the long term. I just think it's about misunderstanding sometimes, like sometimes driving.
Like, oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of courteous. Be a courteous driver. Like, if I let you in a lane,
wave.
Give me the hand and acknowledge that I made that happen. Don't just speed off. I don't like those people. So I always go and catch up with them and look over.
Look over.
And say, let me get that hand.
Right. I'm going to show you how to do it.
Yeah, because you got to get the hand.
Right. So you give them the hand.
I give them the hand.
That's how we're
they give me the hand.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I made that happen. You could have still been back there.
I like that.
Stuck. Yeah.
So you'll even go in a direction you weren't going to catch up
just
with
them. Just to make sure.
I got to catch up to you because.
Sometimes another state.
Yeah. So
just to prove your point.
Well, we're going to ride out.
He's in Rhode Island.
It happened in Georgia. Yeah. I'm in now Maryland, but damn it, I got my point across.
Let me get that hand. So just courtesy, misunderstanding. Right. So people, if you're out there driving, somebody let you in traffic or let you in the lane, acknowledge that wave. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's all people want.
It's not so that nice. Hard.
No.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Not
it's
that
easy.
Hard.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it, catch up with them and give them the hand.
Right. The hand. The whole hand? All the 5 fingers or just
whole
one?
Hand.
One finger? The whole hand.
Five.
Now show them how to do it.
Yeah, not one finger. Gotcha.
Yeah, right. Like that. Hey.
That's where I got one wrong.
Yeah.
AJ, is there anyone you want to nominate for Loser of the Week?
Okay. I'm going Sesame Street on this one. Do we really need to have all these specialized puppets now?
What do you mean specialized?
I'm like, now they got a puppet that I guess it's parents or whatever, someone that like has issues with like alcohol or drugs. So now they have this puppet. Because, like, its parents have problems with, like, alcohol and drugs. It's like, it's a friggin' children's show. Can we just keep it a children's show? Right. I mean, you got a guy living in the garbage. You got Bert and Ernie. Yeah. We're not quite sure about those
the guy
two.
Living in the garbage.
Yeah, mm-hmm. was Oscar the Grouch.
Yes.
We got Big Bird, who was questionable as well. We don't need to have now.
Listen to
Big Bird talk, okay? He's yellow. Just saying.
Right.
We don't need
Are you saying Big Bird has been touched by an angel?
Possibly. But, you know, we don't need all it's a children's show. Let them learn about this stuff later on in life. They don't have to learn right now.
Okay.
So we don't need these puppets.
Stop.
All
right. So propaganda. That's what you're saying. Stop it. Stop it. With the innuendo. Innuendo. That's what
exactly.
The Cyrus word.
Well, is there, we have a clip?
Yeah, there's a new one. Yeah.
All right. So this is the new.
They unveiled it. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi. It's me, Carly. I'm here with my friend, Celia. Both our parents have had the same problem. Addiction. My mom and dad told me that addiction is a sickness.
Oh, yeah, a sickness that makes a person feel like they have to take drugs or drink alcohol to feel okay.
We don't need this.
My mom was having a hard time with addiction, and I felt like my family was the only one going through it.
What does it count?
Now I've met so many other kids like us, Celia.
Wow.
Makes me feel like we're not alone.
What happened to the count? One to the guy, two to the guy.
What happened to that?
Yeah.
What happened to
like learning how to count?
One laugh, two laugh.
And you got to realize these are grown people who are speaking for the puppets.
Yeah.
That's what we're, these are grown
people. Yeah, that didn't sound like two kids talking.
No, that sounds like a grown woman talking about somebody else's addiction.
Like, they're not even asking the voiceover talent. Can you sound a little younger?
I need more young. Give me young.
What's next? Insurance salesman?
My daddy.
Yeah.
Right.
What, the Embalmer's kids next?
Yes.
People die, and then they film with fluid, and no.
Right.
We don't need that. So
too
Sesame
young
Street.
To talk about
Sesame addiction. Street.
Where's the homicide puppet?
Yeah, really. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
It's just laying in every scene on the ground.
Trying to make me go to rehab. Yeah.
I said no. Exactly.
Can you sound a little younger, please?
Yeah, exactly.
I said no.
There you go. You sound castrated now.
Big J Okerson in studio. Do people still call you Big J or do they shorten it to Big or J
or BJ?
BJ.
BJO.
Depending on what it is.
Right.
BJO people have said before.
What do your friends call you? Just J or?
Just Jay.
Hey, you.
It seems they call me Jay and then in reference to me, Big J. Do you know what I'm saying? If they call me Jay and if they get on the phone and someone asks where they're at, they say, oh, I'm a Big J's.
Right.
So just, I hear that more. Yeah. And I just kept it only because I kept it bigger than it is. When I started off in the all black comedy clubs at first. And it was just easier to have like a stage name. And I was just just did Big J. That's all it was, just Big J. And then when I started doing mainstream stuff more, and your name would be like in the credits of stuff, whatever it was, you know, you're trying to be like a little more like legit. I started using my last name, but didn't want to lose anybody that liked me from...
Your cred.
Right, so yeah. It's Big J. Oakerson.
Yeah. So I kept Big J. Oakerson. It is weird now, though. It definitely, it is not without a little, like, embarrassment. I was just in that movie Hustlers, it's out, and I was waiting to see my name in the crowd. I was very excited. It's the first movie I've ever had in the theater. When it does say Big J. Oakerson, you're like, I look like an idiot.
No, I think it's cool. Hey, your name's on a freaking movie screen.
No, true. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I took that for sure, but I mean, there is still something about it. You're like, I could see, yeah, if it wasn't me, if I saw that, I'd be like,
who is that? Yeah, I'm like, come on with the Big J.
Dweeb.
Yeah.
So you understand The Rock going to like Dwayne Johnson then, like when he's in credits.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right. Maybe you do that.
Well, Chaz, if you were in a movie, would you just be Chaz?
Yes.
And AJ, you'd just be AJ. There would be no last names.
No, I'd be Dixie Thomas.
What kind of movies are you going to be?
Right, right.
No one's quite sure yet. Right.
You're like Beyonce.
Rom-coms.
Right. So, Jay, this is our boss, Keith.
Hello. And,
he was the program director. Now he's the operations. What are you? Vice
president of programming.
Oh, programming
very
for the
important.
Entire company.
Yes.
Right.
Very important.
And he comes in every Friday at this time to do a top five list. And time now for Boss Keith's top five.
Which was an idea we had once, and I've been doing this for 2 years for some reason.
Well, we're waiting for you to get good at it.
we'll let you know when you're done.
Right. So I have strong opinions about my personal fashion. Okay. So here are my top five opinions about men's fashion.
Oh, good.
Okay, so number five, and I think this is a policy we all agree on, no ties ever. I think the world has changed that you can wear a suit, but I don't wear a tie to a funeral. I don't
wedding?
Wear a, no wedding, no funeral, no job interview, no business meetings. I will.
What?
Yeah, I never wear a tie anymore, and I don't think you need to.
Did you wear a tie when you applied for this job? And that was way back in.
I did, and it's constricting because I have jowls, and it makes these jowls hang out. It looks terrible.
You need to get a shirt with a loose collar.
It doesn't
if
work.
You wear an older shirt and gain some weight.
They thought a sharp hair was going for the job.
Right. Like I can't. When was the last time you wore a tie?
I don't know.
I think
just a black T-shirt to all right. funerals
that's
and,
right.
and weddings.
That's it. I put a jacket on and then exactly. I think I'm fancy.
It's my funeral tuxedo T-shirt.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
When's the last time you wore a tie, Jay?
It's just it's very morbid.
Oh, good.
My manager was just murdered in his home a few months ago,
Jesus.
And we had to go to a funeral, and I put on a tie.
So you're a new manager?
See?
No.
He's looking.
What? Why would someone want to murder your manager?
Fate handed me 10% I get to keep.
There you go, see? So it worked out.
That's how he's able to afford the tie.
It worked out. Was he in L.A. or Philly
scratch.
Or where
exactly.
was he?
Jersey, in a beautiful neighborhood in Jersey. And his nanny's boyfriend had a key. No one knew. His family, thank God, wasn't there, just him. And he, the nanny's boyfriend came in. This is hilarious to go back to a fashion list.
Yeah, what?
And,
yeah. Don't worry about me.
Good luck.
Yeah, right.
But, and the nanny's boy, she broke up with the boyfriend, and he came in the middle of the night. And
for her?
For
and
her.
And then ran
and,
into him?
No, didn't even run into him. I think just for, by his confession, like, just get him out of the way so he could do what he wanted to do.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. Yeah.
Just had to be
crazy.
There, yep.
Wow. How old
crazy.
Was he?
40.
40.
Yeah, 40 years old.
Oh. Wow, damn it. All right, well
anyway,
that's the last
ties.
Time you... But you wore a tie.
Exactly.
But the tie thing, yeah.
Right, cool.
Didn't wear a tie.
All right, so, okay, so no tie.
So would but you have worn a tie
I'm sorry,
to them?
I'm sorry, Keith.
Would you have worn a tie to them?
All right.
Keith, would you have worn a tie?
No, I don't think I wear a tie to my manager's funeral either. That's terrible.
Or his own.
That's going to come up in your review.
Or his own, yes.
All right.
So number four, zip-up hoodies, no pullover hoodies. So you're wearing a pullover hoodie.
Yeah.
I hate pullover hoodies.
Really?
Because they screw up my hair, and they're also constricting to my jowls.
I have to cut them. Yeah,
you got
to
cut them.
Big thing, I will say, this is a brand that I like because it's not a super constricting neck. Yet also, I will say, while I don't like the feeling of a tight neck, I like the look of a tight neck much more than like a swoopy, wide open neck on anything.
Oh,
I think that makes me look fatter and weird.
Right. So, AJ, you just want to show off your chest.
So, you had that shirt opened earlier. It was more open. You've buttoned it since the show started.
Yeah. Because it was hotter in there.
Oh, okay.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's temperature related.
That's not what it was at all.
Ashley called you out on it?
I did. I felt like I was looking at a his cleavage. It was like unbuttoned all the way down.
What kind of voice?
Listen, my cleavage is not out, okay?
Thank God!
Number three, I refuse to wear stripes across. I think you have to be under 160 pounds to wear stripes across. I wear stripes across. I look like a moose. It's ridiculous.
There's no stripes here.
No stripes across, stripes down, sort of, but that nobody that looks sort of out like the Charlie Sheen 2.5 Men thing that he used to wear. Okay. But stripes across, never.
Gotcha. Phil? What are you? What?
Phil's like 152 pounds.
You're my son, yeah. Phil.
How much do you weigh?
178.
Oh, I thought he was thinner than that.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't wear that anymore.
He seems
you have to throw that away.
He's a fat chicken, so.
Horizontal stripes are a fat man's nightmare.
Oh, it's
however, you get into the fat gay community, they're pulling off stripes again.
Oh, really?
Reckless abandon.
And that's usually where it starts. It starts with them, and then the rest of us pick up.
Yes.
Yeah, right? But I look at pictures of me in stripes across, and I look horrific.
Well, the rule...
Like a Hamburglar.
Right, it's
vertical
awful.
Stripes to make you look taller, right? Up
right.
and down?
Yeah, but that's not, like, what kind of shirts?
Up and down stripes.
Yeah. Right. Number two, boxer briefs. The only way to go. I feel like it gives you good presentation.
It does.
And all... I used to wear boxers for a million years. And
how many times are you presenting, really?
A lot. I'm always presenting. I'm just in my boxer briefs. I'm like the guy in Silence of the Lambs. I'm just in my boxer briefs.
So when your daughter's friends come over?
No. No.
Okay.
Dad's got a great piece.
Not true.
Your just dad's checking. Presentation is fantastic.
Yeah, that's very, very nice.
And my number one rule is band t-shirts. You can't wear a band t-shirt unless you can name the albums in order. I hate this fashion trend where these VSCO girls are wearing like AC/DC and Led Zeppelin t-shirts and don't know who the bands are, and Nirvana t-shirts, and can't name any songs or any of the records. It drives me absolutely insane. Urban Outfitters should, like, give you a quiz before
that's
you're allowed to buy
it. Right. So I was going to say, it's like those stores, right? Urban
Passes
Outfitters.
And place. H&M.
And it looks, they look tattered, right?
Faded.
And
more,
right.
Yeah,
worn out.
Like their parents.
Yeah, the fake worn out.
Yep. So, like, Urban Outfitters sells Pink Floyd Tour 1973. Huh? Like, do you know any songs they played on that set? What album was that tour from? You shouldn't be allowed to
what
buy
What album
it.
Is that?
Stark Side of the Moon.
Okay. And what are the track lists on that album?
Like, what did they open with? Like,
no,
the set list?
What's on that album?
Brain Damage Eclipse.
73's Dark Side?
72's Dark Side, but it's the tour is 73.
Wow, 72? I thought it was 75, 6.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
75's Wish You Were Here.
Hmm. And then the Walls, right. Walls 80?
Wall 79, November of 79. Come on!
Rain Man.
Come on, Pharisee. You had to look this up for this
Jesus, how do you know all that?
Well, I just know, like, nonsense. You even,
you're not he's making a fashion point.
Right. Well, this is why I don't own a Pink Floyd t-shirt.
Right, so if you're wearing a Sublime t-shirt, you should be able to name the Sublime records or whatever t-shirts you wear. Don't you just wear, like, Cinderella t-shirts or whatever, though?
Phil.
So this happens all the time where, like, people will walk by and the PLR tent is set up and they'll walk by with, like, an AC/DC shirt on. I'm like, hey, Back in Black. And they look at me like I'm insane.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, you don't even know who the band is.
Really?
You have no idea.
Jeez.
I'm like, Angus Young, yeah! And they're like, what?
Who?
Why are you yelling at me? I'm like, get out of here.
I picked my daughter up for school wearing Billie Eilish merch.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I want people to know I'm cool.
Oh, right. Very baggy things. Yeah.
Get the two-tone hair going.
I have two-tone hair. I Travis Scott my hair.
Yeah, see?
Yeah,
then
you
I
do.
I go pick up my daughter.
Yeah. AJ has
you
no idea
off,
what
though.
You're
not
talking about.
Oh, I totally
pulled that off.
You're basically talking in Latin to AJ right now.
Can we just name some classic rock albums and see if the boss can name the year?
Okay, all Back right. in Black.
Black and Back is 1980.
Yep, I know that one. How about Appetite for Destruction?
It's 1987.
That one I knew.
We already covered Pink Floyd. Nirvana, Nevermind.
It was 91. September of 91.
The Rain Man over here.
Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti.
75? You got to check, though. I could be wrong about that. I think it's 75.
It could be, yes.
Checking.
Foghead Live.
So I don't know these junk bands. Your terrible, terrible bands that you like.
I've heard
I
you
think
too.
That's
man free bands.
Physical Graffiti is 75.
No, I was right. All right, see?
Jeez. All right.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.